It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and drives you towards your goals. Let your ideas flow with AI tools that guide you, but give you full control and flexibility. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. Get everything you need to turn your part-time passion into a full-time business. Go to Wix.com.
Save big money on all lawn care products at Menards. Revolutionize your landscaping experience with our dig-free edging, a hassle-free solution that transforms your outdoor space effortlessly. Our innovative edging system is designed for easy setup without disrupting your lawn. Save today on all Mastermark dig-free edging at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In the green scene today, we're going to learn how pandas, as bears, should be omnivores and maybe even carnivores, but instead have evolved to eat only bamboo. But first, a new kind of solar panel developed in the University of Michigan. It's achieved 9% efficiency in converting water into hydrogen and oxygen, mimicking a crucial step in natural photosynthesis. And to explain all, we're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Sounds very scientific, this particular one.
This one is, but I thought it was interesting to talk about because, you know, we have a big push towards getting solar PV onto our roofs for energy. And, you know, there's research that shows that could help meet some of our energy demands, even in low light. But hydrogen has been a bit of a panacea. It's been sort of presented as a panacea, this idea of a clean, abundant material that when you burn it, it only produces water, you know, no fossil fuels.
So the problem is to produce it, maybe you start with water, put energy in to break it into hydrogen and oxygen. So it's kind of a difficult equation.
And at the moment, about 90% of our hydrogen comes from methane. So you know, it hasn't really been something that we've been able to use a lot. And it comes with safety issues. Hydrogen's highly flammable. So it's been attractive as the idea of a liquid fuel for things like planes. I know you were talking about that earlier in the week. But yes, explosions, all that sort of stuff. There's problems with it. Nonetheless, hydrogen fuel cells have huge promise. So scientists have been looking to see how could we produce hydrogen more safely and more efficiently, given that it is abundant and it has lots of potential advantages. And of course, plants do this all the time using photosynthesis. So scientists in Michigan were looking at that. What do plants do? And seeing, can we mimic it? And they've come up with a new type of solar panel. And this can achieve 9% efficiency at converting the solar energy into energy and hydrogen, which is very, very high for this type of experiment. It's 100 times higher than anyone has done before.
So basically, if you have enough of these solar panels, you can produce hydrogen at the other end of the array and do what you like with it.
Exactly. And of course, if it's efficient and cheap, what it means is that you could do it in the place where you need to maybe power your hydrogen fuel cell. And that means you don't have to worry so much about things like transport. I mean, scientists are even looking to see, could you get this to be efficient enough to use the water vapor in the air to pull hydrogen in? So imagine that. Imagine where you could just literally pull energy from the air.
They've shown its viability now. Obviously, to make it more efficient and cost effective is the next challenge. But meantime, you've been looking at, you know, the number of roofs on our houses that could be generating energy, and how would that impact on our going green?
Yeah, well, research from University College Cork and the author Paul Dean, people may have heard him talking about this, but actually we already have nearly 25,000 homes that are generating electricity from solar PV. And you know, we could probably meet about a quarter of our electricity needs if we had more Irish households that had solar panels. And about 1 million of our houses are already suitable for doing that based on this study. So certainly PV, hydrogen, all of these clean technologies, as long as we can, the efficiency and the cost is the big barrier. So that's why research like this work from Michigan is so important, because if we can bring down the cost and the efficiency, and you know, they've done that by very clever chemistry. We don't have it in production now, but it's only a matter of time before it rolls out and becomes available.
Okay. I mean, one would expect that every apartment block should have a solar array on the roof, if only to light the common areas and do those kind of things.
Absolutely.
And every house, you'll say, oh, my house is not south facing. Well, maybe it's not. But the bit that you don't use, where you've no view, which is south facing, You know, you're looking north from your living room, but the other side of the house is looking south.
Absolutely. And as the efficiency of these technologies go up, you don't necessarily need to have direct sunlight either. You can have oblique sunlight and you'll still possibly get enough energy. So it's all really exciting. And I think it shows how really kind of early stage research, you know, with the right push and the right impetus, we need to get that out into use because we can do it. We just need to do it quicker.
Now, let's talk about pandas. They are bears, and you'd expect them to be carnivores or possibly omnivores, but not vegetarians.
I know, and of course, they're very famous. They're these big, cuddly giants, and we all know they eat bamboo. And they actually have some adaptations to eat bamboo. You know, they have a pseudo thumb, an extra sort of a digit, so they can grasp bamboo efficiently. And they've actually lost a gene. And this gene codes for a taste receptor for that umami taste, that kind of savoury taste, which is actually pretty common in meat, and they don't have that anymore. But they still basically on the inside look like a carnivore.
In terms of their gut.
Their gut, exactly. So if you think about, a deer or a cow, you know, they're very famously chew the cud. They have these long, slow digestive systems, and they have all of these bacteria living inside to help them break down fibrous grass or vegetable material. But pandas don't look like that. And a study that was done by researchers in the Chinese Academy of Sciences said, well, what's going on? And they looked at things like panda milk, so the milk that pandas produce for their young, and also panda poop. And what they found was it kind of looks like the milk and the poop of a carnivore. So what is going on? So what they did was they followed pandas around the Fouping National Park in China, and they followed them over the course of a couple of seasons. And they actually went and sampled exactly where the pandas were eating. And they found that they went to two different species of bamboo, and they actually migrated over long distance to find these different species. And they ate the particular part of the plant that in that moment in the season had the highest amount of protein. So actually, they were sort of like protein-seeking missiles. They can find protein in the midst of this plant diet.
Because in other words, if they just indiscriminately ate bamboo, they might be waiting a long time for the adequate amount of protein to be accumulated in their system. So this research should feed into where there are pandas in captivity who might have been getting the wrong diet.
Exactly, because we know pandas are very difficult to keep in captivity. I mean, the other thing is they're sort of like the vegetarian that does give in and have the odd bacon sandwich, because they did also show they do eat a tiny bit of meat. So they eat about 1% of their diet is things like eggs. If they come across carrion, they will eat it. And they do actually hunt these little animals called pika, which look like a small mouse. So, they don't have a fully vegetarian diet. But exactly like a human that decides to leave meat out of their diet, you have to eat things like tofu and beans and things to find that protein. Panda are doing that. And it is kind of interesting when you think about the evolution, as you said, of carnivores and herbivores. We're all taught these very separate lineages, and then the omnivores like us sitting in the middle. But it's much more complicated than that. And in fact, they also went back and looked at ancient panda samples, and they looked at the chemicals in their bones and hair to see, well, what were they eating? And actually, they only switched to just eating bamboo about 5,000 years ago, which is really recent in evolutionary history.
Mm. So it looks like a bear, sounds like a bear, but is it a bear?
Yeah, well, it is a bear, but is it a vegetarian, I think is the question. Maybe not quite.
Fascinating stuff. Ruth, thank you very much for joining us. That's Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
You know where your business would be without you. Imagine where it could go with more of you. Well, with Wix, you can create a website with more of your vision, your voice, your expertise. Wix gives you the freedom to truly own your brand and do it on your own, with full customization and advanced AI tools that help turn your ideas into reality. Scale up without being held back by cookie-cutter solutions and grow your business into your online brand. Because without you, your business is just business as usual. Take control. Go to Wix.com.